You are listening to the Arcology Podcast, a Shadowrun community podcast. I am your host, Vox.
And I am your host, Mr. Johnson.
We are here to speak about all things Shadowrun, so primarily we'll be focusing on the tabletop role-playing game.
Yep, there's lots of interesting things going on with the Shadowrun world, all kinds of different products coming out, lots of different ways to get into Shadowrun, and we will be covering those as well.
Huzzah.
Now for the news.
On December 21st, 2012, Catalyst Game Labs announced that 2013 is the year of Shadowrun.
Yep, and what does that mean for us? Good things.
Good things, very good things.
Yep, we had a new edition for the tabletop game, 5th edition, which is now available. Some really lucky people actually had first access to a hard copy, the Origins Limited Edition. Wish I could have been there. but you can get a hold of the rules now.
They're on PDF. You can go to Catalyst Game Labs website. They have a link through which you can buy a copy of the PDF and pre-order the hard copy.
Ah, yes. That's something I need to do. Get mine on the way. But yeah, they also made some preview PDFs available for free download at DriveThruRPG.com. Just talk about different parts of the rules. I believe those are still up there if you just want to take a peek. But the PDF became available in July. They're also coming out with some other products like Sprawl Wilds.
Yeah, at first I thought that was a supplement, but it turns out it's a pack of adventures.
Yeah, mostly pre-published adventures, but they're statted out for both 4th and 5th edition. So
that's pretty cool. If you're a 4th edition junkie, you can get it for your own use if you don't want to move to the other edition, or you can see how all the stats kind of translate over, which I think is pretty cool.
I really like 5th edition, but I'm sure there's people out there who prefer 4th and want to stick with that. I know when 4th came out, I just completely turned my nose up at it because it was way too different. And I'm just now getting back into playing a more recently published version of the game. And I'm finding I like it a lot.
Grognar.
Yes, I was a Shadowrun Grognard. But yeah, besides the tabletop game, though, we have some other stuff going on. There are PC games available. Well, there is one now.
Shadowrun Returns. It was released in July of this year. It's a turn-based game, and it is spiritual successor to the old SNES game, which I liked it a lot. That was my first introduction to Shadowrun.
Yeah, for a lot of people, that was their first introduction. Yeah, for me, it was the role-playing game itself.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't figure out why the dog had red glowing eyes, but anyway.
I just particularly remember a particular area where there were coffins set up in the basement.
I could not get past that section.
I remember there was something you could do where if you lined it up just right, the ghouls actually couldn't get around the coffins and they kept spawning, and you could just stand there and shoot them for a long time and rack up a bunch of karma.
Which I figured that out. That's actually where I had to turn the game back into the rental place. But in any case, there was a tool set that came out with Shadowrun Returns as well.
Yeah, all the exact tools the programmers used to actually create the initial campaign, Dead Man Switch, are available for anybody to use and create content. If you're on Steam, it's really easy to access that content. You just find what you want and you click the little subscribe button, and that will be right there in your game.
They all just show up. There's a number of them out there right now. They've all got really good ratings. I don't know whether it's just the creator that rated them or what. I haven't looked yet, but...
Yeah, but to help you out with that, we are in future podcasts going to be doing a review segment where we'll be reviewing the community-created content created for Shadowrun Returns.
Yep, and I guess I'm a little late to the party. I haven't finished Dead Man's Switch yet, but I am very close, I can tell. So once I finish that, then I'll be able to devote a little time to doing some reviews of what's out there. I'm looking forward to it.
Send your spoilers to Vox at arcologypodcast.com.
No!
Also in computer games, hasn't been released yet. They're working hard at it as the Shadowrun MMO. Looks like it's going to be really cool.
I like MMOs.
Yeah, me too. This one seems really neat because they're doing it cross-platform. You'll be able to play it on your computer, on your mobile device. I'm pretty sure there's going to be Android and iOS support for that. There's a free-to-play version, and there's premium content that you can get. So we'll see how that looks. It looks like it's going to be really, really interesting and a lot of fun.
I can picture the time twittering away right now as we speak.
Yep, and wherever you are, you can play it.
Oh, God.
There would be no escape from the shadows. Yeah, a lot of other upcoming things going on. There's a card game called Crossfire that's coming out. I kind of like the description they gave this. I'm very intrigued to get my hands on it and check it out. They call it a cooperative adventure deck building game. So, looks neat. Some of the pictures, previews of cards up online to take a look at. I know it was big in the Magic back in the day. Yep. I know that's still kind of big now for some people, but...
Yeah. I don't even know where my cards are anymore.
That's I have a few decks that I just couldn't get rid of, but the rest is who knows where at this point. But also, besides the card game, which will be out at some point, as far as I know, there's no actual release date. There's some board games that people are working on. Hostile Takeover is going to be coming out next year.
According to Wikipedia, at least. 2014. Okay. I didn't check the source.
And I've been big into, say, Warhammer 40K miniatures games. So I'm also kind of looking forward to the Sprawlgangers miniatures game line that's going to be coming out as well.
Well, Sprawlgangers, it brings to mind Necromunda, which I played some. That was fun.
There's probably going to be some similarities, I imagine.
Yeah.
You take on, you build your armies out of, basically, you might have an Ancients or...
Oh, sure.
The Spikes or Halloweeners, all the different legendary Shadowrun gangs.
It'd be fun. With that, we'll get into the main content of today's episode. What is Shadowrun?
That is a good place to start. So, I know a lot of you Shadowrun veterans probably know all this stuff already, but it'll be fun to explore. Anybody who might be new to Shadowrun, this could be useful to get a basic intro, because there is so much out there. It is such a rich setting, which is kind of where I want to go with it. It was originally a tabletop role-playing game published by FASA, but it has grown and expanded so far beyond that. I'd rather kind of refer to Shadowrun as a whole as a setting. So let's get into what that setting is.
It's cyberpunk fantasy. It is also now partially alternate history.
Yeah, it's set in our world about 70 or so years in the future, depending what area you're playing in.
And all the Drek hits the fan, so to speak, in 2011, correct?
A lot of it does. There's a lot of Drek hitting a lot of fans, and a lot of people getting covered in a lot of Drek over the course of a few decades.
Yes. In essence, though, it's a dystopian, or it's a dystopian future story. Corporations have taken over. If you are a history buff, an entertainment buff, a Shadowrun buff, or all of the above, do a little podcast love here and check out the Neo-Anarchist podcast.
Yeah, Opti does an awesome job of doing an in-character Shadowrun history podcast.
It's fantastic.
Bring the truth, get your truth at Neo-Anarchist podcast. I know I eagerly await every new release of it, and it is just an amazing resource for catching up on all of the parts that was in the original book under the title And So It Came to Pass.
It's great content to get your head wrapped around it if it's not already there.
But yeah, definitely check that out. Highly recommend it. One of my favorite podcasts of all time. And it just started a couple months ago.
That's awesome. What is a Shadowrun? Shadowrun, it gets its name from missions. A Shadowrun is the idea of running between the shadows is my best explanation for it, simply.
Yeah, basically, in Shadowrun, if you're playing Shadowrunners, your characters are pulling off illegal jobs, well, usually illegal jobs, for various different entities, usually corporations, things like corporate espionage, kidnapping, assassinations, if you go that way.
Extractions, yep, data steals.
You do all the dirty work the corps don't want to admit that gets done.
Exactly. It's kind of like Mission Impossible, in a sense.
Yeah, just pulling off missions and hopefully you get paid. Hopefully you don't get screwed over or killed by the person who's supposed to be paying you. That just kind of gets to, that dovetails well with the next question I want to answer, who are Shadowrunners? Shadowrunners are the people who pull off Shadowruns, obviously, but what that means is usually they are sinless. They don't have a system identification number, so they're not part of the official system in the world.
Our equivalent of a social.
Shadowrunners are the people who either they can't or won't get a regular job, either because they don't have an actual legal sin, or their sin has been damaged in some way, or maybe they have a criminal record. There's lots of reasons somebody might go into Shadowrun.
You could have somebody who has a sin, is a perfectly normal person, and for whatever reason they decide to start engaging in illicit activity. And
yeah,
it doesn't happen often.
Really well for Walter White. Balancing a normal life with being a Shadowrunner, or in case of Walter White, you've all seen the show. Well, if you haven't, check out Breaking Bad. It's awesome.
Very.
But let's get into some of the other, like, probably your most common NPCs you're going to be dealing with are the Fixer and your Mr. Johnson.
Your Fixer is the person that you would go to if we're going to continue along the Breaking Bad example here. Saul Goodman is an excellent example of a Fixer.
Yep, it's somebody who knows all kinds of different people, who do all kinds of different things, most of them illegal, and he will put Shadowrunners in contact with their employers, and usually can also find other people to help them get things done or acquire the gear that they need to do.
For a fee, of course.
Of course. Usually they just kind of take a cut out of the pay or just charge them for information. Mm-hmm. There's lots of different types of Fixers out there too, but yep. Your sort of traditional role of the Fixer is the guy who connects the Shadowrunners to the Mr. Johnson.
Yes.
And I'm not referring to myself in this case.
Mr. Johnson is almost always an anonymous person who has the job. He's, she, it, what have you, is the individual who has something that needs doing. A lot of times it's expected that it's a corporate person. It's a representative of one of the megacorps out there. It could be anybody. If somebody needs something done by Shadowrunners, they become, quote-unquote, Mr. Johnson.
Yep. You don't know who he really is, or she or it, as you said, and you're not supposed to.
Exactly. Now would probably also be a good time to just mention on the side here that it's also a fairly common Shadowrun idea that Mr. Johnson will screw you over.
Yes.
You go out, get the job done, get out, and meet up for payment. You do not lower your guard.
Oh, no. Or else you just get, you know, filled with bullets and dumped in the harbor.
And whatever you grabbed will be taken from you off your dead body.
Yeah. The best case scenario, the friendliest Mr. Johnson will only figure out ways to get you to do the job with as little money as possible invested in so he can keep as much of his cut as possible.
Of
but
course.
Mr. Johnson is not your friend.
Ever.
Ever.
So, that's the basics. We have Shadowrun, a cyberpunk fantasy setting in which people engage, Shadowrunners engage in illicit activities. Fixers set Shadowrunners up with Mr. Johnsons for jobs. They do the jobs. They get paid.
Or not.
They make a ton of money and retire in luxury, right?
That's the goal. A nice luxurious plot.
Yeah. Nah, not so much.
Nope. Sail off into the sunset.
Absolutely.
Of the afterlife.
So, Shadowrun 5th edition.
Yep, it's a new edition that came out. We're just going to kind of go over the basics on what is Shadowrun 5th edition. If you are familiar at all with the Shadowrun role-playing games from the past, whether you decided you were interested in checking out 5th edition, or if you're just now getting into the role-playing game because you play the old SNES game and you're hearing a lot about Shadowrun in the year of Shadowrun, we're just going to go over the basics on how the rules are and what's cool about 5th edition. So where should we start?
Basic rules. The dice. A lot of six-siders.
Yep. This isn't like D&D where you got, you know, a few dice here and there, one 20-sider for your attack rolls, and a D4 for your dagger and your magic missiles.
Yes.
In Shadowrun, you need fistfuls of six-sided dice. And that has not changed through the editions.
Not really, no. Maybe not as many as you'd needed in previous editions, but you still get the satisfaction of rolling handfuls of six-siders.
Now, how those are used is you have a dice pool. A dice pool is just basically a whole bunch of dice that you gather up whenever you need to do something. You add up a couple of different things, like maybe an attribute and a skill.
Take that many dice and roll them. And the number of fives and sixes that show up on the dice are the hits that you've gotten. They're successes, basically. You count them up.
Yep, to us old school grognards. I call them successes, darn it. I know it's a lot more syllables than necessary, but they're successes.
You count them all up, and the game master compares them to whatever the difficulty is. I've never game mastered, so I'm not sure on that point yet.
It's called a threshold, basically. If you get enough hits to meet the threshold, you succeed at whatever you're trying to do.
Yep.
Or if you are doing something that where you're competing with somebody else, like trying to shoot at them, and they're trying to not get shot by you, you might, instead of having a threshold, you have an opposed roll where whoever gets more successes wins.
Either way, you count up your fives and sixes. You get to a certain number. You succeed. You don't get any fives or sixes. or you don't get enough fives and sixes, you don't succeed, or you also count up the numbers of ones that show up.
Yep. Now, they don't take away from your successes, but if you get too many ones, you glitch, which means something goes wrong. One of my favorite things about this edition is the cool mechanic where you could actually get enough successes to succeed something and still glitch at the same time.
It makes perfect sense.
Yep, my character in the last session was trying to sneak. He rolled pretty well in a sneak roll, but also glitched. So he... nobody noticed him, but he went the wrong way. That's one example of a glitching. It gives the Game Master an opportunity to get creative about what sort of things can go wrong.
And speaking of creativity, if you get too many ones and absolutely no hits, that's a critical glitch.
Yes. Also the name of a cool Shadowrun podcast. Go check them out.
Yes. Critical glitch is when something goes very wrong.
Yes. We're talking, you know, maybe you blow off your own foot, you know, injure yourself with your own gun, drop the ever-important chip down the grates. Yeah, any sort of really nasty thing. It's really the opportunity for the Game Master to have all kinds of fun with you. It's not really designed to, you know, you shouldn't just die from a critical glitch.
No.
It's designed, you know, they kind of mentioned the rules. It's designed to make things more interesting in a Chinese proverb sort of way.
It's an opportunity for creative expression.
Exactly. Also new in Shadowrun 5th edition is the concept of limits.
That limits are the number of hits you're allowed to get. It was explained to me very nicely. For example, you are shooting a gun, a pistol, and it's kind of a crap gun. So your limit to shoot with that gun is going to be lower than a better made gun.
Right. Characters have inherent limits, physical, mental, and social limits based on their stats, and that kind of determines how well you can succeed at a particular task. But if you're using weapons, there's a different thing called accuracy, which replaces those limits. But for the most part, it's based off of either your personal limits or your equipment limits, usually with various different gizmos. The rating of the device you're using is the limit. If you're shooting a gun, the accuracy of the gun is the limit. If you're trying to talk your way past a security guard to somewhere you're not supposed to go,
use your social limit.
Yep. And it's been a bit of a controversial rule. A lot of people don't like being told, I rolled all those successes, why can't I keep them?
Yeah.
Well, you can. We'll get into that later. But it requires edge to do something special. I personally like the concept of limits. It just adds kind of a cool flavor to the game. And also makes it that much cooler when you spend edge to blow past your limit.
That is true. So we've got hits, we've got limits. The threshold, you'll remember, is how many hits that you have to meet in order to succeed at the test.
Usually if you get more than the threshold, then you succeed better. Something better happens. The threshold, you don't have an opposed roll, like, again, with the example of, you know, you're shooting somebody, you want to get more hits on your firearms test than they get on their dodging test. Mm-hmm. If you do succeed in hitting them, the more successes that you get, the more damage you do. So nice. It's helpful to get as many as you can.
Another option, I believe also new to this edition, is teamwork tests.
Yeah, I like this rule. It's neat.
Where one character makes the test, but any characters that want to help can do whatever they're going to do to explain how they're helping, and they get to roll dice that will contribute to the success of the character making the test.
Yeah, basically you have one person who's the active role in it, you know, the one person trying to talk her way past the guard, and you might have other people
like a fabulously cybered up troll standing behind looking intimidating. The intimidation test the troll makes will contribute directly to the speaker's ability to manipulate that guard.
Right. Yeah, the hits that your buddies get for backing you up raise your limit for your main test. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure the way it's written in the rules, they're supposed to be all using the same skill, but I really like the idea of having people contribute in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you might be trying to con the guard,
mm-hmm.
but your buddy the troll is trying to intimidate the guard, or intimidate, basically backing up with his intimidate skill.
Yeah. I'm inclined to agree with you. I think it's perfectly acceptable that someone can use their intimidate skill to bolster an attempt to con somebody, especially if you're saying that, you know, we're a bunch of bad mofos and you better listen to us. If you look like a bad mofo with your intimidate skill, it's going to make that con a little more believable.
Yeah, though in that case, you might be actually using intimidate rather than con.
Well, you might be.
So other types of tests besides the teamwork tests, extended tests. If you've got something you have to do over time, usually this comes into play when you're repairing stuff. You use an extended test. It's usually not something you're going to accomplish with one dice roll. They have a higher threshold than normal tests and usually require a bunch of different tries. The threshold basically determines the overall difficulty, and then there's a certain amount of time that passes with each dice roll. Every time you roll after the first one, you take one die off. If you get enough successes before you run out of dice, you succeed at fixing your car or your deck or whatever. If you don't, then you just weren't good enough to pull off the job.
You get to retry? It just takes a bunch of time?
Yeah, it just takes more time. Unless you critically glitch, then you probably screw something up beyond repair.
That's never good.
No.
Edge is a new-ish sort of thing, I believe.
There was Edge in 4th edition.
There was Edge in 4th edition.
It's used a little differently now.
The last edition I played was 3rd edition, where we had Karma.
And Karma Pool.
Yes.
And before that, you actually had to permanently spend your Karma to do things, which was... It was always costly. Sometimes if you had a really bad run, you'd end up spending more karma than you actually earned. It's a net loss situation, but very appropriate for the feel of Shadowrun.
Mm-hmm. In this version, edge is what you use to skew reality in a little way. You can... Yep.
It's deck in your favor.
Exactly. You can reroll the dice that didn't get hits on, so all your 4s, 3s, 2s... Assuming you don't have tons of ones, you can re-roll them with edge. You can ignore your limit. This is the situation where you'd be able to roll all your dice. Say you've got a limit of 3 in something that you're really just not cut out for. You could spend a point of edge and roll your dice and get as many hits as you'd like. You can hit the I go first button. You can improve your initiative in combat. Maybe not first, but you can... overcome glitches and critical glitches with edge?
Yeah, if you want to be less interesting at the gaming table. I think it's more fun to take your lumps, but then again, you know. Let's see what happens when I critically glitch on the test to hack into the place after we've already broken in and this is the linchpin of the entire run. Okay, in that case, I'll let you get by with it. You can negate a glitch.
You
just fail.
Take another action before you go down. I have not seen this yet, which is probably for the best.
Yeah. Yep. That also requires a successful attribute test. If you notice, we're being a little bit vague about the exact rules, because we don't want to really infringe on anyone's copyright here. So
no.
We're kind of going over some of the concepts, but I'm not going to read directly off the book or tell you exactly what's what on here.
Go to Catalyst Game Labs for a... link to buy the PDF. There's also a quick start character builder guide out there too. Get the rules. Check them out.
Yep, the rules are there to be looked up. Occasionally we might shout out a page number as we go into certain rules talks, but I just want to make sure that we don't actually read from the book.
Sorry, no story time, Chummers.
Well, that's for later. One more thing I wanted to cover about Edge is... You know, previously in 4th edition, Edge would refresh at the beginning of a run, or perhaps a session, usually at the beginning of an actual adventure, which could span multiple sessions. Now, Edge comes back a lot more frequently. If you get a good night's rest, you get all your Edge back. And also, if you do something really neat that, I don't know, pull off a daring rescue, do something very funny that makes everybody laugh... put on a great role-playing performance, have a great idea, your game master might toss you an edge. And I love the idea of this being a player-nominated reward as well, where a player just might pop up, hey.
Give that man some edge.
Yep, and the game master can say yes or no, but I think most game masters would be, yeah, you're right, that was pretty cool, take an edge.
Nice. At least every game master I'd like to play with.
Now it's story time.
Story time. As part of the Community Shadowrun podcast effort, we want submissions from you. We want to hear your stories, be they success stories, interesting characters. We know everybody loves to talk about their characters. We want to encourage you to bite the bullet and share when something went really wrong.
Yeah, or give us the dirt on your friend who, you know, really screwed up the run.
No names, please. We might have to edit them out for the sake of maintaining friendships.
Right. Yeah, that would probably be best. Though, if you want to call them out, I suppose, just, you know. We want to hear those stories because they're fun. I remember there was a, I can't even remember the name of the website now. It was years ago, back during the days of second and third edition. There was a website. They had a whole section devoted to stupid Shadowrunner stories where somebody did something really dumb and they got themselves or their team either killed or seriously inconvenienced. It usually ends in the death of a Shadowrunner.
Oh, grief.
The shadows are not kind to the stupid.
No, that's true. And although we do like the stupid Shadowrunner stories, it'd be funny. We'd all love to hear them. We want to hear just whatever you have. Whatever you have, you've got, you know, interesting ideas, just a character concept, stuff like that. You know, we know that gamers love to talk about their characters.
Yep, and we want to give you the opportunity to talk about their characters.
Absolutely.
Send us an MP3 or send us an email at contact@arcologypodcast.com. Again, that's contact@arcologypodcast.com. Or you can just go to arcologypodcast.com and follow the directions there. Yep. All that info will be up there. We'll have the show notes posted as well.
Yep.
But
to start our Shadowrunner stories, I don't think she was particularly stupid because everything worked out okay. But
since we don't have listeners yet because this is our first podcast, obviously we're not going to have submissions just yet. So we're going to share some stories of our own.
Hooray. My Shadowrunner story is a character called Envy. And she was one of my first Shadowrunner characters. And I just took some inspiration and ran with it. Think Marissa Tomei's character from the movie My Cousin Vinny. Make her an elf, give her big blonde hair, and make her partial to wearing things like platform heels with fish inside them.
Very over the top.
A little bit. Accent included, probably performed quite badly by yours truly, but that's okay. It was fun. So her first appearance was driving her hot pink Volkswagen Rabbit into the Barrens. She parked the car. Oh, I should also add, too, that the song by the Weather Girls, It's Raining Men, was blaring from the speakers of this car. So she parks the car at the Barrens, gets out, and there's a gang of orcs standing nearby going like, what is that?
Yeah, and of course, you know, she's like all dressed up fancy and has a really nice looking car, despite the color maybe. So yeah. Not a good thing to park in the Barrens, generally speaking. Yeah. Not a nice part of town.
No.
We're
no.
talking Redmond in Seattle.
Yeah. No,
so
she...
just going to meet for the first time, to meet the party, to go on our first run with them.
Yep. She gets out of the car and comes over toward the sidewalk, if there really is that sort of thing there anymore. And the orcs start coming up like, what nice car you got there, you know, or some such. I can't even remember exactly what they said.
Yeah, they made it obvious that things were not going to be going smoothly for this person.
Yeah, so she, you know, basically said, oh, hey, honey, what... watch my car for me while I'm gone, will ya? Like, really? Are you kidding me? And I forget what the move was, but the head of this group made some threatening thing. I don't know if he pulled a gun. I don't remember if he pulled out a chain or
it's
what
been
he
a
did.
While.
It's been a while, yeah. So regardless, he made some threatening motion, at which point Envy power bolted him into a small pile of remains.
Toss the keys to the other gamers.
So watch my car for me, will you, hon? Oh, yeah, sure, lady, whatever you want. Whatever you want, sure thing.
Yeah, that was the safest parking job in all of the Barrens.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so that was her intro to the group.
We still
tell that story years afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Just remember it. So,
what the party didn't know, though... until your character...
Yeah, I barely remember this character. I think he was called Sun Tzu. He was a runner mage who... he had a real... one of his flaws at the time, which now they're just called qualities, but he had serious problems if things didn't go according to plan.
Yes.
He was a real planner, which made things a lot of fun playing him, because no Shadowrun actually ever goes completely according to plan. But yeah, it was kind of interesting when he sensed her for the first time.
Yeah. Yes, this...
So when you sense somebody in astral space, you can see, unless they're masking it with some powerful meta magic, you can actually see who or what they really are.
Yep.
So apparently Envy...
the female elf mage. Kind of hot, in her own way. Was a...
Human male.
Human male elf poser transvestite.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, so you just kind of went, huh. Okay, then. That's kind of strange. Let's get the job done. I don't think he ever actually mentioned it to anybody.
He never said a thing to the rest of the party. You know, Envy didn't really care. The name Envy, very, very loosely inspired by...
That's what you spell with letter N, letter
yes,
V.
Yes, letter N, letter V. It turned out kind of cool because it turned out to the word... Envy, which is kind of neat too, but very loosely inspired by the idea of Victor Victoria. It's kind of a gender bending, originally a play, I believe, from the 30s, remade into a movie in the 80s with Julie Andrews. But anyway, a lot of gender bending going on, a lot of confusion about who's who and who's a woman and who's a man, and the idea was not Victoria. Envy. So it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So we have lots and lots of gamer stories. If you want to hear us talk on and on about our own gamer stories,
we'll be happy to.
However, we would rather be reading other people's gamer stories too.
Yes, because we've already heard all these stories.
Yeah, we want to hear your stories. So again, send them into contact@arcologypodcast.com. Either send us an email or, write up a story, type it over, send it to us.
Send an MP3 if you want.
Yep.
That'd be great.
Just make sure the audio quality's good. Then we'll just play it on the air here.
Yep. You've been listening to the Arcology Podcast, and we want your feedback.
Yes, we would love to hear from you. We've got a lot of different ways that you can get in touch with us.
You can leave your comments with the show notes on our website at arcologypodcast.com.
That is spelled ARCOLOGY podcast.com. No hyphens or anything, just all one word.
Yep. You can email us at contact@arcologypodcast.com. You can post comments to our Facebook page. Just look for The Arcology Podcast.
Yes, please like us on Facebook.
That would be groovy.
And one of the best things you could do for us, though, would be to leave us a review on iTunes.
Yes.
We would prefer 5 stars, but I'll leave that up to you. Most important thing is we want reviews and we want comments.
And if there's anything that you think would be reason for you to leave us a poor review, please share it with us first. That would be great. We're looking for ways to improve all the time.
Yep. All feedback is welcome. Even if you have nasty things to say about us.
We'll just cry.
I can take it. I'm Mr. Johnson.
I'll cry and you don't want to hear it.
Right. We'll record it and play it back.
Music by Prism Shard. I am Vox.
And I am Mr. Johnson.
Thank you for listening.
See you next time.
The Topps Company, Inc. has sole ownership of the names, logo, artwork, marks, photographs, sounds, audio, video, and or any proprietary material used in connection with the game Shadowrun. The Topps Company, Inc. has granted permission to the Arcology Podcast to use such names, logos, artwork, marks, and or any proprietary materials for promotional and informational purposes on its website, but does not endorse and is not affiliated with the Arcology Podcast in any official capacity whatsoever. All other works mentioned in this podcast are the property of their respective owners. Original content of the Arcology Podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 unported license. So if you use any part of the show, please give us credit.